eBay Motors is here for the ride with the parts you need at the prices you want. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they're guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to With the First Pick, the CBS Sports NFL Draft Podcast here on CBS Sports Network. I'm Ryan Wilson. That, of course, is our general manager, Rick Spielman, who has 30 years of NFL experience, including a decade as the Vikings GM. And Rick, the 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. All 257 picks have been made. So it only makes sense that today we'll talk about some of our favorite and not so favorite draft classes. The caveat, of course, is that we're weighing in hours after the draft, when in reality, we don't know anything for 2 or 3 years, but that's okay. Still fun exercise. And by the way, if you missed it, Rick and I talked about every single team and every single draft class, every single player in our winners and losers post-draft immediate reaction podcast. And you can check that out on YouTube at NFL on CBS or wherever you get your podcast. Okay, Mr. Spielman, let's get to it. Let's start with some draft classes we really liked. First up, the Washington Commanders. You know that team really well. I know you don't like to talk about it, but you had a hand in helping them get their new GM, Adam Peters. They have a new head coach in Dan Quinn, who was on, who you worked with in Miami back in the day, I believe is the story you told. And new ownership and a bunch of new players. So what do you like about what the Commanders, their approach to this draft? Because they got a ton of guys.
Yeah, I don't know when Debo or Stryker, whoever, when we're going to start the countdown for the 2025 draft. Not yet?
Not yet. We got to get countdown through this. Tomorrow, I think. That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow we can put 361 days left until the 2025 NFL draft?
Yeah. So you have a day off.
Okay. It's hard to start the show without that countdown. It's my only significant role that I have on this podcast. So hopefully tomorrow, or next time we do it, we can get it going again. So,
we'll do
but
that.
Getting to, the Commanders. I thought this whole offseason when Dan Quinn and Adam took over, they were really aggressive, I thought, in free agency. So they tried to fill a lot of needs. And I thought they were very smart by doing that, by signing all these veterans, but the real short-term deal. So as they entered this draft, it was a draft of, I need this, I need that. It wasn't. It was just, let me get the best players available. And I thought they followed their board to a T. Favorite pick out of this whole thing was Jaden Daniels, because I think he's going to be their franchise quarterback. You get one shot to try to get a franchise quarterback when you're picking that high. With his arm talent, but with his ability to make plays with his legs, I thought it was a great pick. Biggest steal of the draft for me was Johnny Newton in the second round. I thought he was a first round talent, the defensive tackle from Illinois. No, he was injured. The most ready, Ryan, to contribute. You ready for this one? My favorite player of all time, Ben Sennett. Third round. Got him in the third round. I know they signed Zach Ertz, but he's a kind of a stopgap tight end. I think this kid is going to line up at multiple positions. It was a huge need for him going into this draft. Play fullback, play H-back, underrated as a receiver, underrated as an athlete. Kid with a huge chip on his shoulder. Came out as a three-star, had to walk on at Kansas State, and I think he's going to carry that chip with him when he gets into the league. And then, if there's anything I potentially didn't like, I would say maybe Luke McCaffrey, the receiver going in the third round. I saw Troy Franklin up there. I thought he had great value, maybe at the bottom of the third. I know Troy Franklin needs to get a little bit stronger, but he does give him a vertical threat and a big play ability. But Luke McCaffrey, I think, is a slot. I think why this pick was so good is because of his pedigree and because as they continue to build that culture in the locker room, I think he's going to fit right in and be one of those culture builders, those building blocks as they move this organization and move this team forward.
So four of the nine picks came through trades. So Adam Peters not afraid to move up and down the draft board. And according to Next Gen Stats, the Commanders ranked first among all the draft, all the teams drafting, all 32 teams in terms of the most college production. So guys who have a ton of experience making their way from college to the NFL. Jaden Daniels probably had a lot to do with that because he's played a ton of football, but he's going to be their QB1 sooner rather than later, almost certainly. All right, Rick, I like to have a conversation. I just didn't want to Rick Buster the whole time, so I'm going to go back and forth with my favorite team. I know you like to be in front of the camera, and the most dangerous place in Minnesota at one point was between Rick and the camera, but we're going to share the stage here. This is a team, Rick.
Okay.
All right, the Steelers.
Well, geez, no one again. Debo puts out the instructions, but they're never clear enough for me for some reason.
All right. Well, that's why we're here, to help you. And producer, we have two producers helping you. That's where we're at in this journey.
That didn't come from producer team, Stryker.
Rick? All right. Yeah. Here we go. My favorite draft class, Pittsburgh Steelers. And we talked about this a lot.
Shocking.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And yours makes sense because they got a franchise quarterback, the Commanders did. And the Bears makes sense, of course, because of Caleb Williams. But the Steelers have their quarterbacks, plural. They have Russ Wilson on the vet minimum deal, which is crazy to think about. If I told you that a year ago, you probably wouldn't believe it. And then they traded for Justin Fields for a day three pick. You wouldn't believe that either, probably. So all they do is get Troy Fautanu at pick 20. We talked about him. We talked to him during the pre-draft process, had him on the With the First Pick podcast. They got Zach Frazier in round two, the center, who's going to be almost certainly a day one starter. Roman Wilson in round three. Then they circle back on the Wilson train and got Peyton Wilson later in round three. All guys that have a chance to either start, Rick, or contribute right away. Of these guys, I'll turn it to you. I know who my favorite pick is, but I'm curious. What is your favorite pick?
I would say, as you went down through there, I'm going to go with Fautanu, because I think it's the biggest need they had. Be interesting to see if they keep him at left tackle or if they slide him inside the guard. He's not going to play center, although some teams talked about him playing center. But after they signed Zach Frazier, I think that they will line him up at guard. But we'll see as they go through these OTAs and these mini camps, and once we get into training camp, what their best five is. So when they line up for the opener, it'll be interesting to see who their best five is and where they all line up.
And they drafted Mason McCormick early on day three. We've talked a lot about him out of South Dakota State. And the overarching philosophy for me is that Arthur Smith was hired to run the ball. And Arthur Smith is going to, as a new offensive coordinator, is going to facilitate that with Russ Wilson, makes his life easier. I would imagine Najee Harris and Jalen Warner are incredibly excited about the notion of being able to run and not getting hit behind the line of scrimmage consistently. So that feels like a sea change in that direction, and it's hard not to be excited about that. I would say the biggest steal for me is Peyton Wilson, 24 years old, the extensive injury history. But he's been healthy the last 2 years, Rick, and you put him next to Patrick Queen, and then you're cooking with gas, right?
Yeah, no, two very athletic linebackers that have excellent range. Peyton, I just think, needs to get a little more physical, taking on some blockers in line. But he's a do-it-all linebacker, and if he can stay healthy, show that he does, those durability concerns are behind him, I think they got a great pick there.
And then Roman Wilson, let's talk quickly about him, the slot receiver out of Michigan. He ran in the 4.3s, I believe. He'll probably primarily be an inside guy, but when you have George Pickens, that's okay. The X is taken care of, and then you have someone that can help ease the loss of Deontay Johnson, who was traded to Carolina. I love that pick. And then Ryan Watts at the end there, the defensive back out of Houston, played at Texas for the Longhorns, gives them some versatility in the back end. Let's see here. What do I want to ask you, Rick? Zach Frazier's a day one starter without question. Is that right?
I don't think Mike Tomlin's philosophy is, hey, you start day one. I think his philosophy has always been to earn the right to start. So I would guess that he's going to start in the opener. But he's not going to come in and first day of vet mini camp with all the veterans in there that, hey, Fautanu, you go there, let's let them earn it. So by doing that, that gives the locker room acceptance more if that makes sense, is that, hey, I know these guys come in, they're better, so they've earned the right to start.
Nope, I got you. And then that's, I think, right. So on paper, he's going to be second on the depth chart or third when he shows up at OTAs. The reality is, unless something goes wrong September, he'll be atop the depth chart. But it's just a process that you like to go through with veterans and young players.
So all right, you're Rick, saying, we'll take a quick break. You're just saying it's semantics then.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. I would like to get to a break, Rick, so we can come back, because I want to hear your thoughts about some more favorite teams. Two teams that were most recently, the last few years, in the Super Bowl, their drafts also got better. We'll tell you who those teams are right after this. eBay Motors is here for the ride. I would wager that most general managers have a favorite roster they've ever assembled. Maybe it was their first one and they wanted to prove to the world that they could keep it running smoothly. Maybe it came after an offseason where they had a lot of money to make some moves or a healthy load of draft picks with a great class of prospects in front of them. Maybe they struck gold on a few low-cost free agents and turned a good team into an unbeatable one. And try as we may to experience what it's like to be a GM ourselves through video games or fantasy leagues or what have you, most of us will never know what it really is like to bear the responsibility of all that roster maintenance and upkeep and the pressure of making the right pick. But for all of you car fanatics out there, there is a close parallel. Because if you think about that car you loved more than any other one you've ever owned, think back to how much you wanted to make it just right and make it last forever. Like a dynasty in car form, and how you wanted to pick all the right parts to add to it, make sure it was constantly in the best shape possible, and be certain that whatever part you chose for it, it was the perfect fit. That's why we love what eBay Motors can do for you. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. A few months ago, I needed new brake pads for my car, and that's not something you want to mess with. I knew I had to get the purchase right. And I knew if I went to eBay Motors, it would be guaranteed to fit and cut down on the hassle of buying a new car part. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. This summer after the draft, me and the family are hitting the road. We're going to need a roof rack, and we cannot be more excited than to get it from eBay Motors. And with eBay's guaranteed fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. And look, these roof racks are expensive, but with eBay Motors, you know you're getting the best deal possible. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. Ryan Wilson along with Rick Spielman, the ever chatty Rick Spielman. He didn't quit talking through the break, so that means he's incredibly excited to talk about another one of his favorite draft classes from a team that was in the Super Bowl a few years ago. And I'll follow that up with a team that has been in the Super Bowl quite frequently in recent years. But Rick, you're going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles, tied the NFL draft record Howie Roseman, the GM, did with 8 trades. So, what'd you like about Howie Roseman's philosophy in terms of team building here?
I loved it because he probably beat my record. I can't remember what I did. I went with all the trades. So I love that philosophy. But that's Howie knowing the board, knowing who they want to go after, when they can trade up, when they can trade back, and still hopefully land the same type players. But that's really a little bit of a art or a skill, and I give Howie credit for it because I think he's one of the best in the business on how he manipulates those boards on draft day.
So I'm going to guess here, like you guessed my favorite picks when we did the recap podcast on Saturday night here. Your favorite pick, it had to be the second rounder, Cooper DeJean?
Right on task, Cooper DeJean, yeah. And I thought Philly did everything as good as they could during the offseason because they're in a Super Bowl window. But to get Quinyon Mitchell in the first round and they did not have to trade up to go get him, I think his ceiling is so high. And then to layer Cooper DeJean on that, who I think will end up lining up as a nick or a safety. But to get these two guys to be the cornerstone of your secondary over the next, hopefully, 7 or 8 years, I think was a great job, without really having to do much. So, and then Cooper DeJean may be end up being their punt or kickoff returner as well. Biggest steal as we look at this list to me, and I like him, I know he's small and short and everything, and Jeremiah Trotter. I thought in the 5th round, He was one of the most instinctive linebackers I watched, and I think he's going to push N'Kobe Dean for early play time. And then Quinyon Mitchell will push, I think, Bradberry for a starting role. I think Bradberry, if he does get beat out, all of a sudden becomes expendable, whether he's cut, whether he gets traded, because of the aggressiveness that how he approached this offseason.
Hey, let me ask you about some. I don't know if you didn't like it or I had questions about it. Not necessarily that I didn't like it, but Jalix Hunt, their pick in the third round from Houston Baptist, the edge rusher. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he looked overmatched, but that's because he hasn't played the position very long. Transferred from Cornell, where he was a safety. The third round feels rich to me, but can you explain from a GM's perspective why you would take a guy this high and maybe try to stash him for a year or two?
Yeah, I think this was a total future pick. Let's get this guy with such unique athletic ability, and then let's take time to develop him, because if you look at their roster right now, they spent a lot of money on Huff from the Jets. They got Sweat. Nolan Smith was a first-round pick, and it brought Brandon Graham back. So I don't know if this kid's going to see the field or not, unless he's just an ace on special teams. But at that, I went and looked and kind of saw that, man, there was still Peyton Wilson there. And I thought they needed another linebacker to go along with White. So, but he may have had too many durability concerns or the age, because each team has different philosophies on how they approach those picks.
And one of the other things I think you mentioned over the draft weekend, they took Johnny Wilson near the bottom of their draft, the wide receiver out of Florida State by way of Arizona State. He's 6'7" and change, 230. Struggle with focus drops at times. Is this a situation you see him at OTAs and maybe consider adding some weight onto him, or then you determine how you're going to position him on the depth chart?
Yeah, I think he'll eventually grow into a big H-back. I don't think you're ever going to have him go in there as a true on the line of scrimmage tight end and try to block someone. But for his unique size and his athleticism, he does need to get stronger. He needs to get a little bit more grit to his game on what I saw on tape. But I think that as he develops, he can potentially create a mismatch, especially if they're using him as an H-back, if a linebacker or a safety try to cover him because of his catching rate, his size, and his athleticism.
Amazingly, Rick, this finally completes the Carson Wentz trade details. They picked up Jalen Carter, Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, Kyron Johnson, and finally Cooper DeJean. So we can close the book on the Carson Wentz situation in Philadelphia and all the trade and picks that followed. Let's go to one of my favorite draft classes, a team that won the Super Bowl last year, and they just keep getting better. They've been crushing the draft year after year with Brett Veach there, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course. One of the questions that producer Stryker and Debo asked us is, what do we like about their approach and strategy? They get guys that fit their system for Andy Reid and, of course, for Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator. One of my favorite picks, and we'll tip our hat to Pete Prisco, who had to wait a little while to hear his guy called Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State. He drew some comparisons to Brian Cook, the young man they drafted out of Cincinnati a few years ago. And if you're able to ease him into that defense, it's going to take a while to learn, because that Spagnuolo defense is pretty complicated. And he can hit the ground running in a year or two, maybe in the same way we've seen Brian Cook have success when he's healthy. I think that's a steal when you take him on day three. The biggest steal, speaking of steals, I'm going to steal it from you. Your guy, Jared Wiley. And I'll let you tell me, Rick, why you think Jared Wiley makes a ton of sense on an offense that includes Patrick Mahomes. And, of course, he'll be behind Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and I don't know how long Kelsey's going to play. I thought he had some similar traits to Kelce. He's long. He's athletic. I think he's going to be a unique target in the passing game. And he's got an opportunity to learn from Kelce, who I think is going to be no doubt a future Hall of Famer. So, again, this is a pick that is a future pick, but I wouldn't be surprised if he contributes a lot this year from that position. And how do we know how long Kelce is going to continue to play?
Right. Jason Kelce already retired. Travis is a few years younger, but he is in his 30s, and maybe that's something he'll consider. Kingsley Sulmaitea, the BYU left tackle / right tackle, was a good bargain in the second round, I thought. And then Xavier Worthy feels like he's most ready to play, even if that consists, and he can run every route, but even if that consists of just stretching the defense over the top. They still have Kadarius Toney, but of course they have Hollywood Brown. We'll see what Rashee Rice's future is going to hold in the near term. But I would imagine you like the idea of Xavier Worthy, even though it costs you a few picks to get up there and take him.
Yeah, and I'd be careful. The Chiefs fans may not like you saying that Tony's still going to be around. So he's had some struggles since they made that pick, especially holding on to the ball near the goal line. But we don't want to open up healed wounds, as we like to say. So, but I do think, yeah, he's going to give him a vertical stretch. Is he going to be Tyreek Hill? I don't know that yet, but he does have that type of speed.
Yeah, he's a fun player. 165 is what he's listed at. I think he played much tougher than that, but we'll see. The durability concerns are something that you keep in mind when you talk about moving to the NFL. Had some focus drops, but I think he's tough with the ball in his hands. It's just one of those situations where, and Rick, you've talked about this with Rashee Rice last year. The first half of the season, he looked like he was thinking too much, and once he felt comfortable in that offense, it clicked. And I think that's the idea. Get speed on the field and let Patrick Mahomes get the ball in those young men's hands, and you go from there. Another situation, Brett Veach, not afraid to trade. Six of the seven picks were through trades, and they did really good in terms of picking guys where the consensus big board had them among the media members. That doesn't necessarily mean it's a great draft, but Brett Veach has shown in recent years that they're just crushing it with these draft picks, and those draft picks are making immediate contributions. We saw that last year. And the Super Bowl run, we've seen in previous years. Trent McDuffie is already one of the best nickel cornerbacks in this class, a former first-round pick. All right, Rick, we've got two of our favorite teams down. We're going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to look at two more of our favorite teams, both, incidentally, in the NFC South. Neither, hint, hint, the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk about that right after this.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year... Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. I'm Ryan Wilson, and that jovial fella right there, Mr. Rick Spielman. Have some fun, Rick. Come on. The draft is over, but we still have plenty of things to talk about here. What?
Yeah, you know what was fun for me? Going to bed at 9:30 last night, not 2 a.m., 3 a.m. So that was as fun as I've had in a long time over the last week.
Yeah, you were squirrely Spielman down the stretch, and I don't blame you because there were some late nights, not even just for you, but for people who actually go to bed at a normal hour. All right, let's talk about your draft class, another favorite of yours. This is the third on your list here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jason Light doing Jason Light things, but I also think head coach is doing some head coach things with the defense on that side of the ball there. Graham Barton makes sense at the top because that fills a need along the offensive line with Ryan Jensen retired. But then they go defense, and that feels like what Todd Bowles would want to do.
Yeah. I really like this. I thought them coming out of cap heck, as we talked about over the weekend, you know, with the Tom Brady dead money, with pushing all the chips in, and then still being able to win in the NFC South last year and the bargain they got for Baker Mayfield. So I thought this was a very solid, steady draft. Not a lot of surprises in this draft. When you look at Graham Barton, I think, you know, he'll have to earn it. I know before you say something, but he's a day one starter at center or guard for them right away. They have to get better up front on the offensive line. Their whole philosophy this offseason was keep their own. Extended Baker Mayfield, got Mike Evans under contract, and then fix their number one need, that offensive line, and then they go after the defensive side of the ball. I love the pick in the second round with Braswell out of Alabama. That gives them an edge rusher. They need to pair up with Diaby, who they took last year out of Louisville, or Dada Diaby. Is that who it was, Ryan?
Yeah, you got it. Yaya Diaby.
Yeah. But then, you know, just taking guys off their board on the defensive side. And then we talked about the guy that I really liked, that was kind of overlooked a little bit, Tyke Smith out of Georgia, who sometimes when you watch the tape, you couldn't tell the difference between him and Bullock, who was the other kind of Nick safety guy. So they just took some really good football players, not a lot of drama in this draft, stuck to their guns, hiring or re-signing their own guys, and then let's supplement. So I thought Todd Bowles and Jason Light did a phenomenal job, and they did last year. So new offensive coordinator, which will be interesting to see if they can still carry on what they were able to do under Dave Canales last year. But I think they filled a lot of needs in the draft.
So Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver, they got at the bottom of the third, and that's about the range, maybe a little higher. We thought he might go coming out of Washington, where he played with Michael Penix Jr. Then Bucky Irving, the running back from Oregon, provides some depth behind Rashad White. Let me ask you this. It's crazy to even ask this question because the Buccaneers have won the division there a few years in a row. Do they feel like the favorites as we sit here based on this draft haul, or do we need to give the Falcons a little credit, even though we question their draft to some degree?
Yeah, no, I still think they're going to be the favorites. So to win this after this draft because of how they fill their needs. And the one guy you mentioned, Jalen McMillan, who went in the third round when last year when we were doing our summer scouting school, we weren't sure he was better. Or we thought he may even be better than Odunze. And then Odunze took off. I know McMillan had injuries this year and didn't have as productive a year. But if he's healthy and gets back to the form we saw in 22, I thought he would have been in the mix as in that fourth, fifth, sixth receiver taken off of team's board. So they may have gotten a steal there to add to the mix down there with their receiving core.
Yeah, Jason, like just one trade, and you've talked about this throughout the weekend and throughout the draft process. Some GMs trade and look forward to it, like a Rick Spielman or a Howie Roseman, and some guys just stay put. Tom Telesco is another one that doesn't look to move around a lot if he doesn't have to. So Jason was able to get the guys he wanted, staying exactly where he is. And maybe it's not a super sexy draft if you're looking for quarterbacks and big play wide receivers, but man, they checked a lot of boxes in terms of making that football team better. And as you noted, filling needs. All right, let's go to one of my favorite draft classes. Next up, the New Orleans Saints. And it's not for the reason you think, Rick, because I've been barred from speaking about Spencer Rattler any more than just cursorily mentioning that he was drafted.
I just won a dollar, so because we said you'd give me a dollar for you mentioned his name after this weekend, and you did. So now we're apparently even on the dollar bets.
That's a nice tease, producer Shrek. That means he's really concerned about some breaking news we're going to have at the end of this show. In terms of things that I really liked about what your buddy Mickey Loomis did to make that Saints team better, they needed offensive line help, and we talked about that throughout the process, that they may even be interested in trading up. And you talked about Mickey Loomis being not afraid to move up. He did it a few years ago to go get Trevor Penning, the left tackle, who has struggled at times. The right tackle, Ryan Ramczyk, we don't know what his health situation is going to be, but Tully Pawaga out of Oregon State, taking 14th overall, he could end up being the guy they pencil into the right side, not only because he's good enough to certainly do that, but it may be a huge need. And then to get Kool-Aid McKinstry at pick 41, it feels sort of like what we saw the Eagles do, get two first-round talents in the top 40 picks, in this case 41 and 14, two top-round talents for the Saints there, and Kool-Aid has a chance to play right away. My guy, Spencer Rattler, another dollar for Rick there, goes to pick 150, 137 picks between quarterbacks taken. That's an NFL record. Of course, the top six quarterbacks went in the first 12 selections overall, which had never happened before. And we'll see what happens with Rattler. They have five quarterbacks on the roster, and we'll see where he fits God, in
let
there.
Let it go. Just let it go.
But no, I got to give it to him. But a couple things I want to mention. Bub Means went the next pick for them after that. He's a straight-line speed guy to Pitt. Gives him some contested catch ability. And then Christian Boyd, a guy that we like out of Northern Iowa, the defensive lineman. Tell me how this works from the GM perspective. You get a guy from a smaller school, not a small school, but a smaller school in Northern Iowa, where Trevor Penning actually played too. And then you're going to have an opportunity, perhaps, to line up along Brian Brzee, last year's first-round pick, and get some versatility there. But what's the process of getting Boyd on the field, knowing that he's not played against Power Five schools each and every week for the last two or three years?
There's no process. Bring him in. We liked him. We thought we got great value where we were able to pick him and let him go out there and compete for play time. And I think this guy has tremendous upside. Non-combine invite, which I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong that he should have been invited to the combine. But a big physical defensive tackle. I think he has enough flexibility to go between nose tackle, under tackle, one or three technique, whatever you want to talk about it. And I think he's going to give them some inline pass rush. I talked to you a little bit after the draft when we were going through some of these guys. I thought I saw a little bit of Hargrave in him when he came out of South Carolina State. Not as explosive as a pass rusher, please. I understand that. But a lot of similar traits with his build and with his ability to make the, from a smaller school, to make the leap to the NFL.
I gotcha. All right. We're going to take a quick break here, Rick. I heard what you said about Christian Boyd, but all I really heard was that you think that Spencer Rattler would be the week one starter. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the teams that we didn't love. No rebuttal from Rick right after this.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world. Drag queens
save the world. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good, for a change.
Eight iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. New season now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. Rick, some breaking news. We just talked about Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce, how long he might play. The 34-year-old has just signed a 2-year extension. He is now the highest paid tight end in the NFL. So he's hanging around for a little bit longer there. You can get all your information, up-to-date news on the Travis Kelce news and everything else NFL on CBS Sports HQ. You can check us out, the Travis Kelce news on CBSSports.com. And second stream is here at CBS Sports Network as we continue to work through our little draft coverage here, a little recaps of sorts. All right, Rick, we talked about the teams that we loved. I even love the Chiefs more now that Travis Kelce is going to hang around for a couple years. Let's talk about some of the drafts. We didn't hate these drafts because they did feel some needs, but maybe we were a little confused, didn't love these draft classes quite as much as the ones we talked about previously. First up, no surprise here, the other team in the NFC South, the Atlanta Falcons. So it starts with Michael Penix Jr. at 8. You could even say Ruka Roro at 35. Excuse me. They traded up to get him as a defensive tackle too. So take me through the concerns you might have, because the thought process we've heard from the GM and head coach, I don't know if fans are still buying it, but what did you think about this overall?
Yeah, I don't know if we or any other outlet covered this Michael Penix Jr. Did anyone talk about that or no? So
this is the first. We're breaking more news with that.
We're breaking news. So talked about this to death, how much money they gave Kirk Cousins and why take Michael Penix Jr. there at 8. Nothing to do with his performance or what we're going to think about him as a quarterback. It just was very peculiar on why you would do that with the 8th overall pick and everything that you've done this offseason to put yourself in contention to win the NFC South, and you make a move like that. But the other thing that kind of surprised me a little bit, and Ryan, I know you're going to correct me on this name, but I listened to like 62 YouTube videos. Rook, like in Juke, Roro. So I listened to a YouTube and he said, just say it like you're a row in the boat. So I practiced that for an hour and a half before we came on here today.
Well done.
So
well done.
You don't mispronounce it. Yeah. So I know I've made you very proud, and producer Stryker and producer Debo very proud that I actually got a name right on this podcast. So
I can see you walking around the house, bumping into things, just going a row. You got it. Well done.
If I call my wife a row one more time, I think I'm going to get belted upside the head. Hey, hon, did
all
I
right,
tell
you're
you,
in a safe space.
You remind me of a row. She's like, she came in and was like, what the heck are you listening to? A row. So,
I believe that's 100% of the story.
Yeah, so I'll never forget that name again, or the code at the fancy coffee shop 2012 if you need to go to the bathroom in Stamford, Connecticut. I won't mention the coffee shop, but that's a whole nother story. But if you need to go to the bathroom, the code is 2012 to get in there. So but they moved up to get him, which was another interesting move, because I do recognize the athleticism. I just think he's going to take some time to develop. But they let Johnny Newton fall right to the Commanders in the very next pick. So, and I thought Johnny Newton, and we both thought he was a first-round talent. I know he had some injuries, but he was one of the only two defensive tackles you had on your big board as first-round talent. And I think most teams probably had this kid in the third round, just because of the upside, but also the time it's going to take. But they decided to move up to go get a over Johnny Newton, which I thought was a little bit peculiar, in my opinion.
All right, before we move on to my Patriots, I feel like now we're in the middle of an episode of Scooby-Doo. I'm Shaggy, you're Scooby, and you just keep saying a row. All right, let's get some Scooby snacks here, Rick. Shaggy. And look, man, Rook's a great player. We shouldn't make fun of his name, but it is a fun name to say. All right, I'm going to go with one of the drafts that left me a little puzzled. They did some good things, but overall, the New England Patriots, Drake May, I get it. You'll get zero pushback from me. You have to take a quarterback at three. Elliott Wolf chose not to trade down. I have no issue with that. At 37, however, you talked about the Falcons trading up for Ruka Rororo. The Patriots traded down out of pick 34 and left Ladd McConkey there, and the Chargers came up to get him. Jalen Polk is a good player, no doubt about it. Again, another one of those Washington standouts that we had a lot of fun watching in the fall. But Drake, Ladd McConkey is going to hit the ground running. And I know he's a slot. I know you have DeMario Douglas also in the slot you drafted last year. You can have more than one receiver that plays a similar role. And if you're going to help your young quarterback, Ladd felt like that guy. Didn't mind the Caden Wallace pick. My only concern is, and this didn't come from the Patriots, but the updated depth charts I've seen, they have him playing right tackle, which is what he is at Penn State and which is what he should play. But Michael Owenu is already there, and he is a really good right tackle. He might want to move inside the guard. In that case, it makes sense. I wouldn't put Caden Wallace on the left side because he's not a left tackle on the next level. I don't think. I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel that way. I think they got some value with Jaheim Bell, the tight end we've talked a lot about at Florida State, Rick. He went in the seventh round. He's a better player than that when he's more consistent, but we didn't see that. And then finally, Joe Milton in round five. And why don't you give your explanation again? Because I asked you on the podcast a few nights ago, why would you take a guy at a position where you just drafted someone third overall, knowing full well that he's not going to play? So why would the Patriots think about taking Joe Milton there? Oh, look at that. We lost Rick. So I'll answer the question. I'll give you the answer. So the reason you would take Joe Milton, this is how Rick explained it on the podcast, is that you stash him on the practice squad, maybe. If he has a good preseason, here's what you can do. Perhaps you can flip him for a pick. And that's interesting in that sense because he's a huge arm, a pretty good athlete, a little rough around the edges, but you draft him in the same draft that you take that rookie quarterback because you can develop him potentially in the practice squad, or if he has a really good preseason, maybe you can trade him for a fourth-round pick and get something out of it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Going to fire up the old Mr. Machine and see if we can find out where Rick went off to. When we come back, we'll talk about a few more teams whose draft classes didn't exactly blow our hair back right after this.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV, the CBS Sports app, and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to With the First Pick here on CBS Sports Network. And apparently Rick has abandoned us. His internet went out on the island, his vacation home. So, yeah, you're just stuck with me for the final 2 seconds here. That's okay. We'll still go through some of the draft classes that we didn't like, the Royal Week, because it's just me right now. But I'll give you Rick's, and then I'll circle back to mine. And then we'll have a little fun here at the end of the show. So we talked about the Falcons as Rick's draft class that he wasn't crazy about for the obvious reasons. Starts with Michael Penix Jr. But the other one is another team in the South, this time in the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans. And it makes sense, not so much because of J.C. Latham, the seventh overall pick. They're going to try him at left tackle, it sounds like. Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan made clear after they took him. He's a right tackle at Alabama, played a little right guard. But the big issue, I think, if I can speak for Rick, and I know he loves it when I do this, pick 38, Tavondre Sweat, 362 pounds in your in your book there, a very good chance he weighs north of that. So a couple things. I don't mind the weight so much, but is he a three-down player at the next level? He wasn't really at Texas. That's a concern. He was a fourth defensive lineman on the board, and I understand the Titans trying to get him before there was a run on defensive linemen. Nine ended up going on day two. But the big issue for me, a few weeks ago, he had some off-field concerns. He had a DUI. And for an organization that drafted Isaiah Wilson in the first round several years ago, and he did not work out in any way, shape, or form, that should have been a consideration perhaps. But the other side of that, I also understand you're trying to fix that defense, especially in the middle of that defense. And what quicker way to do it than with 360 pounds plus of defensive tackle? And we know what Sweat looked like next to Byron Murphy, who was a first round pick, incredibly twitched up defensive lineman. And maybe the thought process in Tennessee was that's what Tavondre Sweat will look like next to Jeffrey Simmons, who is as good as they come on the middle of that defense. And look, they got some value with Jaquan Jackson there later in the draft. He's a slot receiver who I think gives them a little juice. James Wilson Williams was a player that I liked out of Miami. Played safety. He's probably going to have to play linebacker at the next level. But I think the big issue for me, and presumably for Rick, was with the Tavondre Sweat selection, especially with other players. There was Braden Fisk out there. You could have gone and gotten the cornerback, which you drafted later. Cooper DeJean was still available. So that was the interesting part of what the Titans did there. All right. In terms of team that I had some questions about, former team that Rick used to work for, the Minnesota Vikings. He was a GM there for more than a decade. But they had to get a quarterback in this class, no doubt about it. They traded back into the first round a few weeks ago to get an additional first-round pick at pick 23. The Houston Texans moved down. No issue with that. So they ended up taking J.J. McCarthy at 10, and that, by in any estimation, is an absolute bargain, right? Because we thought they'd have to trade up to pick 4 or 5 and give up both the 11th pick and the 23rd pick and potentially a 2025 first-rounder. They had to do none of that. But the issue for me was Dallas Turner, I love, but they traded up from pick 23 to 17 to get him, and they gave up a ton. All told, I went through, I won't read it out to you, but they traded 10 picks to get 5 picks in return. And of those 10 picks they traded, they have a first-round pick next year, but they don't have a second, they don't have a third, and they don't have a fourth in next year's draft class, in part because of to get back to pick 23, in part to trade up for Dallas Turner from 23 to 17. And here's the optimistic way to look at this. Dallas Turner is special. A year ago, the Houston Texans took C.J. Stroud at second, then they traded the farm to get up to third, and who'd they take? They took Will Anderson Jr., Dallas' teammate at Alabama. And I talked to Dallas on the With the First Pick podcast back in the fall, and he said, listen, man, Dallas Turner is actually better than I am coming out of Alabama. So if it turns out that he's just as good as Will Anderson Jr., no one cares about the draft compensation. But if there's some fall off, or if J.J. McCarthy doesn't work out, you are out of bullets in terms of draft compensation next year, and then you're really behind the eight ball. So I love the J.J. McCarthy pick. I get that. Dallas Turner's a fantastic player. Kyrie Jackson's a bargain as a long cornerback there. But I just wonder that if this doesn't work out, you're in trouble because you don't have anything going on with the draft compensation next year. All right. What are we doing here at Stryker? What'd you say we're going to next? Raiders. Oh, the Raiders are another team that I get what they were trying to do, and I think their second-round pick is an absolute grand slam. But at the top of the draft, Brock Bowers at 13, I don't think anyone saw that coming. And I say that because they have needs in a lot of places, and tight end wasn't necessarily one of them. And the reason is because last year they drafted Michael Mayer in the second round, and he was pretty productive in that second round. And then you can come back and get Brock Bowers, who didn't test during the pre-draft process because of injury, but that's okay. If you watched him play, he was plenty fast. The upside is Luke Getsy's the new offensive coordinator there, and he's going to run a lot of 12 personnel. That's one running back, two tight ends. So in that sense, we're getting Brock Bowers there, and then you're going to have Michael Mayer on the field. I get it. Jackson Powers Johnson, absolute great pick at pick 44. For the longest time, we thought he was going to go in the first round. Teams felt differently, and that's why he fell out of the first round. And I understand that as well, but I think he has a chance to be a day one, day two starter. Delmar Glaze flew under the radar, but he had a fantastic Senior Bowl and a really good season. I had him as a late day two guy. That's where he ended up going. He'll have a chance to play as well. Tommy Eichenberg is as tough as they come as an old school off-ball linebacker. And I love that. But I think the Brock Bowers pick is what makes things sort of curious. So again, at the end of the day, if it works out, that's fantastic. All right, let's do one more thing here. $1 bets. And I'm really happy that Rick isn't around to talk about this, because last year he absolutely smoked me in the $1 bets. Throughout the draft process, we'll make $1 bets with producer Debo. He keeps the tote board. Last year I lost 14-7 of the 21 bets, only won 7 of them. This year, in the comebacks of comebacks, I was down considerably going into day 3. But much like, I don't know, whatever team comes back from nowhere to make things happen, good old Ryan Wilson here pulled out the winner, 13-12. Rick didn't want to believe it. One of the bets that saved me, Jim Harbaugh did not, in fact, take 3 Michigan players. He took only 2. That was a win for me. Devin Leary ended up getting drafted. Rick didn't think that would happen. That was also a win for me down the stretch. So a lot of things to be really proud about. Really proud about if you're Ryan Wilson on these $1 bets. Rick didn't want to believe it, and I think the takeaway is here's the takeaway from our buddy Pete Prisco. The celebratory confetti falls as well. Turns out NFL, they know a lot, but they don't know as that much more than we know, and that's probably demoralizing on some level, and I understand that. But I'll take this victory, and I should be humble about it. I don't want to rub it in Rick's face because he's not here to defend himself. But I do also enjoy the fact that for all the hemming and hawing and the complaining that Rick does, he lost to this guy out of nowhere. This guy who won 33% of the bets last year is the ultimate winner of the With the First Pick podcast at year 2 $1 bets. But I want to thank Rick for being a part of this podcast. We had a great year. I want to thank all you guys who watch and listen, because it's been incredibly fun. Thanks to producer Stryker and Debo. And you can get the With the First Pick podcast wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.